Hey everybody, and welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. Today, my guest is Packers outside land. Oh, jeepers, Cripes, he can't talk, folks. Has he been drinking old fashions? That's a possibility. It's 10 a.m. somewhere. My guest today is Packers outside linebacker, Rashawn Gary. Great dude. And gave us a lot of insight on the Packers. I thought the funnest... Is that a word? I never remember. The coolest, that's a word. Well, if coolest is a word, funnest should be a word. The funnest bit of information was the team building exercises that he and the rest of the defense do together. So I think you're really going to like that. That's my deep tease for you. That's what you learn in the biz. Tell them some later on in the podcast so they listen to more of it. So there you go. But also just a lot of general insight into the Packers, and of course I had to tell Rashawn about my football career as a third string split end. He was unimpressed. Anyway, I think you're gonna enjoy this interview once again. What else is going on? I'm in Big Sur right now. Where's Big Sur? Somewhere west of where probably all of you are. Unless you're in the Pacific Ocean, it's right on the ocean. I did a show in San Francisco over the weekend, right before the Packers 49ers game. And jeepers cripes, if you had any doubts in the Packers, well, you know, that 37-second, push to the winning field goal, Mason Crosby punched it through the Rodgers. He was all business, ladies and gentlemen. You know, he had a tough game. He had some passes that he missed. I think he was angry with himself, judging by his body language. But in that last 37 seconds, you know, all was forgiven. I think for us as audience, all was forgiven. Not that we're in any place to forgive anyone. You saw Rodgers. He didn't seem terribly happy with himself. But then after that kick was in, he was just ecstatic. So that was fun to watch. Fun to be at. Fun to see all those 49ers fans after the game. Feel for them. I've been there. I've been walking out of the stadium like that. But, nice to wear that Packers jersey loud and proud on my way out. Let's see here. So anyway, I did a show at Cobb's in San Francisco. By the way, we're doing a few shows at different Packers away cities. We're doing Minneapolis, Chicago, Baltimore, and a couple others, which he's got a bad memory, ladies and gentlemen, but, also Omaha, Arizona. What else is coming up? We got a bunch of shows, Green Bay. You can check them out on cripescast.com. We got a list of tour dates there for you. But anyway, hope to see all of you on the road. It's one thing to see in the comments section, but it's another thing altogether when you just shout, whatever you feel like at the stage. I love the Midwest hecklers. They're so polite. So yeah, show's coming up. What else here? What else do we have to do? Oh, I'm supposed to remind you that in this podcast, there's a little bit of an audio screw up. He screwed the pooch, ladies and gentlemen. That's true. I tried to play Rashawn a clip of Bane. Like I did this video a few years ago with TBS Digital, actually, if Bane were actually from Wisconsin. And Rashawn, he's a huge Bane fan, if you know that, if you follow him. You would know. Anyway, it screwed up. He couldn't hear it. It didn't quite work out. So there's that. Oh, that's, what is that in the background? That's a chainsaw. I'm still in Big Sur, actually, as I record this. They're clearing out some branches in the way, it sounds like, over there. Or getting more firewood. I don't know. And if this audio sounds weird, by the way, I apologize. But I'm recording it on my Apple, the old school corded headset. Because I forgot my microphone. And I tried recording this on like one of those cool hopped up headsets, but that one sounded like I was talking to you from an underwater cavern. So I'm redoing it. This is my second go at the intro, and I think I've screwed up less. So Colleen's certainly happy about that. Okie dokes, what else do we have here? Oh, housekeeping, a little housekeeping things. Oaktober, isn't that cute? Doesn't that sound fun? My mom came up with that. She does all the merch stuff. So in the month of October, we got a bunch of promotional items. Are they promotional items? I don't know. We just have a bunch of dope stuff on mandwalkman.com. You can also get there by krebscast.com. But shirts, koozies, hoodies. All of it says Ope. So check that out if you like. Let's hear what else. Oh, Quick Trip. If you want to buy our album, you can get it on Quick Trip. And then, of course, follow the Cripes Cast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We've got, you know, videos and photos and all that sort of stuff. So you can check it out. Well, that's a fun intro. Oh, man, I got to be honest with you. My legs are killing me. They're we hiked Big Sur today, me and my buddy Josh Burstein, who opened for me in San Francisco, and I need new legs. So if anyone's got new legs, that would be great. You know, I've never been a guy who considered getting hiking poles. You know, I've always been like, what do you need those for? What are you trying to prove? You know? But now I was talking to Josh, and he said they took off 38% of your body weight from walking, which is not usually a problem, but when you got these hills going down, my knees, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting old is really what it's come down to. I'm getting old. I need hiking poles, possibly a walker. Oh my God. I can't even get up. I might just die in this chair. Let's see. I'm not even making sense. I'm delirious. We hiked for, 10 miles today, 12 miles. And, yeah, I no longer have thoughts. So let's get to this interview with Rashawn Gary. Rashawn's got a lot of thoughts. Good guy. I think you'll like it. Here is our conversation.
What's good?
Nothing much. You know? I'm just enjoying the off day. You know, just after playing the game. So just trying to get my body right and looking ahead the next week.
Nice. I want to talk about that in a second. Actually, before we start that, is it possible for you to flip your camera the other way? If not, no worries. If that's too much of a pain, it's not a big deal. Yeah, sorry. It's just, this will make the video better when we cut some portions of it. Yeah, sorry. All these silly film things, you know? Very Midwest, you know? I'm going to apologize about 5 different times for messing with the setup you had, you know? Do they have that where you're from? Out east? East coast? Is there a lot of apologies going on over there?
You know, time to time, you know, depending on who you bump into.
Yeah. But on the East Coast, because it's Jersey, right?
Yeah, Jersey.
So, I mean, it you know, out here we kind of have the unfair stereotype of people from Jersey that maybe they're not the most polite from time to time. And maybe that's not polite of us, that's our stereotype over here. Is that true?
You know, Jersey, I feel like like ever since I went to Michigan and, you know, been able, you know, across the country, Jersey's not the nicest people, but, you know, you could, it's respectable. It's respectable.
Okay. Do you like that that vibe out there, or when you came to Michigan first? Well, okay, when you first came to Michigan from Jersey, was there like a bit of a culture shock at all for you?
Yes and no, to the point of, just walking down the street and, you know, people going out their way to, oh, say, hey. So I'm like, oh, hi, you know, like that. You don't get that in Jersey. You know, everybody, you know, happy, you know, people, you know, willing to help you. Like, oh, how do I get here? You know, you ask somebody in Jersey how to get somewhere, they might just keep walking by you. So it was just small things like that. But yeah. Just in anything else, everything else was a smooth transition because I had my friends, coaches and everything.
Did scare you at first when someone was first said, hey, out of the ordinary? And you're like, oh, wait, I don't know you. Why are you saying hey?
No, I was just like, hey, but felt weird. I was just one of those.
That's the hey. Actually, that's kind of like a straight up bit of like your first hey visiting the Midwest. You know, it's hey. You know, it's hey with a question mark, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So, great game last night, by the way. How did that feel?
Felt good. Felt good to get back under, you know, the win column as a team. You know, we came in this past week and we wanted to bounce back, and that was everybody's goal and that was everybody's intentions. And we challenged each other to be great day by day and take it day by day and just, you know, stay in the process and manifest. And, you know, we ended up getting a win. So it was good to get back underneath the win column.
Yeah, how is that? Because after a game like the one with the Saints down in Jacksonville, how was, like, I don't know. I'm just thinking of this as a fan, but I know the answer is probably obvious, which is not good. But how does it feel after coming off a win or a loss like that? What's the mentality of the team like? Is everybody down or is everybody more motivated, I guess?
We don't have time to be down. You know, it's a long season. Right now we have 15 more games and we taking it day by day, you know, week by week, game by game. So we was already excited to get back to the next, you know, opportunity, because we knew that wasn't us, what we put on film. And, you know, what we let up is things that we seen before. So it was nothing that they beat us with that we didn't know. You know, just about, you know, small communication things, things that we knew we could go back and fix. And we challenged each other this past week to fix those things, communicate, and do what we have to do. And it helped us this week.
Well, when you say we challenged each other, do you, like, in the locker room, is it like you know somebody's weakness and you're saying, hey, I want to see you get a little bit better in this regard? And they're like, hey, I want to see you get better in this regard. Or what do you mean when you say we challenge each other?
Just as a unit, you know, just so I'm up front. So I'm an outside linebacker, so I protect the edges. You know, interior D-line, they protect the inside. So me being a front guy, any type of runs they have, they shouldn't run. There shouldn't be no runs. You know, everything should be easy for the linebackers. Same thing for the linebackers. Like, you know, the front, we're going to be right here. This is our gap. So y'all can fly around, like, you know, and have confidence. And same thing for the back end. When it gets time to pass rush, you know, they're covering. It's just a amount of time that we're going to be able to get home. So it's just things like that that we're challenging to be great as a unit. It's just not, you know, pointing out one guy and going at him. We all got to get good together.
Got you. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, do you have somebody who, like, kind of holds you accountable to you and what you're doing out there? I don't know if it's a coach. I don't know if it's another player. But it's, like, you're kind of like, hey, let's get X amount of tackles or nobody in this area or whatever. I mean, is there anything like that going on the field? Or is it just every play is its own thing? We're just doing the best we can. Or do you get a little bit more specific with it, I guess? This could be a weird question. This could be just a comedian asking football questions, and this is what you get.
I feel like whenever I'm on the field, I need to be an impact. I want to be an impact player. So, you know, that's by any means. It don't matter what down, what play they running, I want to be in it. I want to be the one making it. So, and I feel like we got 12 guys on the field that has the same mindset. So it's fun.
Yeah, that's cool. What are the things that go on the field that, you know, we don't know sitting at home? Like, are there any jokes being told? Is there anything weird going on? Anything funny?
It just depends on what type of game it is. We know we up high. You know, we have the young guys, and, you know, we pushing for the young guys to make plays. And, you know, we joking with them, like, oh, you almost had it, like, things like that. But majority of the time, everybody's just smooth rolling, you know, focus on their job and making sure they're executing.
Yeah, that's good. Do you have any players on the team that you're especially good friends with?
I'm close with everybody, to be honest. You know, Preston, Z, I can keep going up, Kiki, KC, Dean.
Now you have to keep going so you don't leave someone out. Yeah, you know? So now
we all cool and we all like each other. So, you know, it's fun going to work every day.
Is that that's a Quick Star shirt? For people who aren't seeing the video, that's pretty cool. Why go Quick Star? Are you a Quick Star fan? Because that's also Quick Trip. For those who don't know, there's Quick Trip, and then they also own Quick Stars. I think Quick Stars, I really like Quick Trip, but I don't know all the stuff. Do you know the specifics of where Quick Star is? That's cool. I got to wear a Quick Star shirt. I got a Quick Trip one. I got to do a Quick Star one.
You know, it stands for Quick Trip, but, you know, I feel like I'm a quick star, so that's how I'm going to put that. Oh, you
know? I like that. That's great. That's probably why I don't wear one, because I'm not a star at all. I do want to tell you, though, and I've said this, you know, to a few folks, few athletes I've had on there. I used to play football myself. I was a second string split end, possibly third string. And also third string quarterback. So, cool. We're just going to get your face right. Did you freeze or are you just staring me? Nope, you were just staring me down. Okay, cool. I wanted to see how impressed you were by that. And by the look at your face where I thought it was frozen, I can tell not impressed at all. But I was a junior Spartan back in the day. So I played a little football is what I'm trying to tell you. So.
Yeah, that's we all have our own journeys, you know.
Thanks. Yeah, my journey ended fairly early. I wasn't quite as fast as you. Now, being a guy who is, you're 6'8", is that right? How tall are you?
I wish I'm 6'5".
6'5". Okay, sorry, that's my bad research. You look 6'8" from where I was watching you the other day. But you can run insanely fast for a guy who is that big. What's the secret to running fast for a guy like me who just wants to know how to run fast?
Man, it's tough. I'm able to run fast like just because my mom, you know, she was an athlete back in her day, so I feel like she's just passed it down to me.
She was an athlete? Where's your mom from?
New Jersey.
She's from Jersey too. Okay. And what kind of an athlete was she back in the day?
Do it all. Basketball. You know, she won a count cheerleading as being a sport. So I give her that. But, you know, she was on the court with it.
Nice. So basketball. What position was she in basketball?
You got to guess.
All right. So your mom. Okay. So you're 6'5". So I'm guessing that your mom probably has some height. So I'm gonna say, but you're not like 6'8". So I'm going to say not center. I'm going to say forward. Also, right. I'm right.
You're right.
I got it.
And she was a shooting guard.
And she was a shooting guard too. So she had a great shot. Do you know how fast she could run? What's a good target? The court and back, you know, again, showing the fact that I'm terrible with the specifics of sports. Well, you can do it in 4.7, right? Or what's your personal best on that?
I'm 4'5", guys.
You're 4'5". Jeez, I'm getting all the numbers wrong. How fast do you think she could do it?
My mom faster than me, so I'll give her a 4'3".
4'3"? Nice. Ah, that's impressive. Is your mom still around?
Yeah.
I got to meet her, see that in person, too. That'd be great. Does your mom come out and hang out with you while you're playing Green Bay? Does she come to the games and stuff?
Yeah, time to time. I try to get her here, you know, every home game. So, you know, every chance that I get, that I have to get her here, she's here.
Nice. Nice. And how about your dad?
My dad's no longer with me.
Oh, he's not. I'm sorry to hear that. So when you bring your mom here, does she hang out for a while? Does she enjoy the Midwest herself? Or is she kind of in for the game and then like, I'm out of here?
I'm in Green Bay. You know, it's hard to find things to do, you know.
What? Did she do any of the roller coasters over there?
I don't think so. But, you know, we're going to Title Town. You know, we're doing our walk around, you know, things like that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What about fishing? Is she into fishing?
No.
Okay. Are you into fishing?
No. I went fishing once. I do want to go again.
Well, yeah. Where'd you go?
It was, I want to say, Lake Michigan when I was up at school.
Oh, this was Michigan side. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, you haven't gone Wisconsin yet. Jeez. So I was talking to Elton Jenkins. Are you buddies with him at all?
Oh, yes, my man.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay, so I last year I was talking to him about potentially doing some ice fishing, and I kind of dropped the ball on that, I think. I mean, I didn't follow up with him on it after the season because, you know, it was a quick turnaround. But I feel like maybe we should all just go ice fishing, and then that could, you know, kill a bunch of birds with one stone. You know, we can all get out there and do a little ice fishing.
Knock it out, right?
Yeah. Are you game for that?
Everything I'll try once.
Okay. Maybe we can get a quick star ice shanty or something like that. You know, I think they should make those. Do you ever look out on Green Bay and see all those ice shanties and wonder what the hell is wrong with people?
Nah, I just stay to myself.
You just stay. You say it to yourself.
Low key, man. Yeah.
What are going from Michigan to Wisconsin? Are there any differences that you see? Any quirks? Any questions that you have that I can answer for you?
The first thing that I recognized when I came from Michigan to Wisconsin was that Green Bay is colder.
Oh wow! Did you hear that, Michigan? We're colder over here. Okay, so it's colder like in what? In a windy way or what?
Man, it's hard because I'm thinking I've been through all that Michigan. I'm like, it can't get any more colder. But, you know, we call it a frozen tundra for a reason. It really be freezing.
Yeah, yeah. That also rhymed right there. So I want to point out your poetry on this situation. Is there a team where when they come into Green Bay, you know they're extra screwed because of the weather? Is there a team that's historically bad at playing outside?
I don't know about historically, but I know, you know, any team that's used to being in the heat, you know, so that's down south and, you know, over in Cali.
Yeah. How does that work in reverse then? Are you better or worse when you're playing in the Heat?
It's not no better or worse. I feel like I'm able to adapt to anything.
That is such an athlete talking right there. Like, I feel like you have a different life mentality than I do. You know, I will be complaining about all the humid weather. I'll be saying, you know, it's not the heat, it's the humidity that's really killing you out there right now. And then I'll talk about, that'll be the only thing I talk about for the rest of the time I'm playing. But, you know, that's why I am where I am in my football career and you are where you are in your football career. Back to the running situation, because I forgot I had a follow-up on that. What is the one workout somebody can do if they want to be a faster runner?
One workout is sled marches.
Oh, with the pushing those sled things?
Sled marches. Yes.
Okay. So what, like?
Forwards, backwards, and sideways.
You got to push them sideways?
60 yards a pop down and back.
Jeez. I didn't realize you could push those things sideways. So is that like doing the, like you just what? You shove it with your arm and you're just doing the cross leg thing?
Yeah, you can hold it that way or you can get a belt and tie it around and march with it.
Got it. Okay, I think I've seen that on ESPN when they do the combine training things, actually. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, is there anything easier that somebody could do who wants to run fast?
A curved treadmill. Get on a curved treadmill.
Were they up, like slanted upwards? Is that what you mean by that?
Oh, it goes like this.
Oh, no, I've seen those. I've never been on one.
Work on having your foot plant back underneath your body.
Okay.
You know, some things you could do.
All right. Nice. That's great. Do you have goals for this season? And do you have goals for your career overall?
Of course. And of course, my season goals is to finish winning out, go to the playoffs, do what we have to do in the playoffs, go to the Super Bowl, and bring Green Bay back a Super Bowl ring. You know, that's a goal of mine and my personal goals. I just like keeping that to myself and just working.
Okay. I like that. But season goal, that's as a huge Packers fan, that sounds like a great season goal to me. Oh, folks, excuse the interruption, but I just want to tell you about a couple of great sponsors we got here on the Cripescast. First and foremost, it's Jolly Good Soda, the pride of Random Lake, Wisconsin. And folks, I tell you this right now. Are you ready for this or no? Jolly Good has made it. They have made it, ladies and gentlemen. They are now one of the top 16 coolest things made in Wisconsin, okay? And oddly enough, they're going up against Quick Trip Glazers, okay? Two iconic Wisconsin brands going head-to-head. So let's hear it for Jolly Good. And by the way, if you want Jolly Good, you can get them from any, you know, really any grocery store. Woodman's, Festival Foods, Piggly Wiggly, the whole deal. And if you can't get it there, you know, and this is a Wisconsin drink, so you got to be in Wisconsin. Now, they may be expanding, I don't know. But for now, if you're in Wisconsin, you're in a grocery store and you're like, hey, I want that Sour Power Floater for my old fashioned. You just go right up to that manager and you say you got it or no. And if he says or no, you say, well, you should, you know, and then you feel guilty about that for the rest of the day because you're from the Midwest. But, you know, it's the Lord's work. So there you have it. And you can buy their soda if you want online, jollygoodsoda.com. Also, I want to thank Duluth Trading Company, another Wisconsin company. I wore their stuff today when I was hiking Big Sur. And as much as my knees were about to give out, my clothes were not, because it was function over fashion, ladies and gentlemen. Although I did look very sexy out there, if I'm asking me. And that's what I love about Duluth Trading is, you know, it wicks the sweat away. It's comfortable. You can crouch and not rip your stuff. It's fashionable. Jeepers cripes, it's fashionable. So check them out, DuluthTrading.com. Also, folks, if you're looking for Manwalk Minute gear, I'm talking Keeper Moving shirts or Ulp or tell your folks I says hi, watch out for deer. You can get all that if you head on over to CripesCast.com or ManDWalkMint.com real quick once. Okie dokes, back to the pod. When you were first being recruited by different NFL teams, I remember seeing an interview with you. And I don't think you mentioned the Packers early on, I guess, as teams you were visiting. When did you realize that the Packers were going to be an option for you, or did you not know until the day?
I didn't know until I got that phone call.
Does that happen a lot where you don't have a ton of communication with the team? You don't go visit a team and then they pick you up?
In my situation, yes. You know, a couple of stories that I heard that it's the same way. But yeah, the draft is unpredictable. When they say that, it really, truly is. So, you know, it's crazy.
And you chose a bowling alley as your draft location, right? Why did you choose a bowling alley?
I was back at school. I wanted my friends, you know, everybody that seen me working, pushing me to, you know, become the player that I wanted to become. Just to have them, give them a little bit of motivation, and for them, you know, give me support, and just have my family, you know, just to have, you know, have the family and loved ones around me.
Okay. And did you bowl after? Did you bowl before?
Oh no, I was too nervous and too antsy. You know, wait.
Not even afterwards, after the whole deal, you didn't do one round?
Nah, it was a relief. I actually went back to the hotel and went to sleep.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a relief.
Did you think that there was a chance that you wouldn't be drafted at all on that day?
No.
Okay, so you knew for sure that was going to happen. There wasn't a doubt in your mind. And then what were you so nervous about? Like the placement of the round, or just what team?
You know, when you're going to get get taken off the board, you know, of course, everybody personally, you know, had their own, you know, feelings of where they should, you know, get taken off the board. But like I said, once the draft starts, you don't know what's going to happen. So it's just that, and just you've been working for this your whole entire life. So, you know, this is your moment, your opportunity, you know.
Yeah. And
in my case, you know, having this dream come true, I was able to do a lot of things that I said I wanted to do for my family. So I was able to accomplish those things by getting blessed to, you know, be a Green Bay Packer. So I was happy that I was able to handle those things.
And then what kind of stuff were you able to do for your family after that?
Move my mom to a place she want to be, move my sister and my nephew to a place they want to be in, so they could be happy and start their new life and grow.
Where did they move to?
I can't get that information now.
That's true. That's a weird question. Sorry. I'll cut that one out. Yeah. What's your mom's address? You know, let me send her a casserole over. Okay. You know, well, I mean, like, did they move? Did you get in a house, or, you know, like what?
Both are in a house.
That's cool. How'd that make you feel when you were able to do that?
It felt good. It felt good. Cause that's something that I've been telling them that I wanted to do for a while. And the time came, you know, it's still so, you know, surreal, but, you know, yeah, I'm blessed, man. That's really all I can say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. Hey, back to bowling, because this is, you know, just a huge topic of interest of mine. Are you a bowler, generally speaking?
I'm trying to become one.
Okay. I know you have a list of, like, no-nos, things you can't do during the season. Is bowling on that list?
It's not a no-no. Like, you know, just say we get together as a, you know, little group, you know, outside linebacker group, and we go bowling. I'll go bowling, you know, see what I could do. But it's not like, you know, everyday thing. That's not like my hobby that I'm going to run to.
Okay. Yeah. But like, if you wanted to get a group of guys together on the defense, have a defense team building, you couldn't say, hey, let's go ice skating together. That would be a no-no.
They'd probably look at me crazy.
Okay. Well, because because you're skating, or because that's on the list of stuff you can't do?
Just because it's me.
Okay.
Bringing that up to them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Stupid example. But like, you can't go downhill skiing, right? You can't you can't put yourself at unnecessary risk. You can't say, hey, let's try skateboarding today as a team. That would be bad. Oh, but bad. Bowling. No, they're not worried about the physicality of bowling per se.
No.
Okay. Got it. That's good to know. Just wanted to clear the air on that. I just want to go through a couple or ask you if there are any phrases that you've heard in Wisconsin, like going to the Quick Trip or whatever. You know, you've heard it around. You're like, I don't know what that means. It sounds like a Wisconsin thing.
At first, what was it? I want to say it was the pothole pizza, and everybody was talking about it.
That's like, a good pizza, man.
What's that? So I want to say when I first got back during camp, I ended up, you know, walking in there and, you know, grabbing one, and that was a little cheat meal. So that was for sure a good one.
Yeah, they sell those suckers over at Lambeau, actually. I don't know if you know what's in the concession stands there, since you're obviously more focused during the game than perhaps I am. But yeah, they sell those in the concession stands. Have you had one there? Was that where you had your first one, at Lambeau, or was it over at the Quick Trip?
It was really at the Quick Trip.
Was it?
Yeah.
Aren't those places great, man? Like, you walk in, and it's like, you're like, wait, is this a grocery store? Is this a gas station? Is this heaven? What is this place?
Yeah, it's one of a kind. You really can't, you know, describe it. They got everything you need. You know, they got the waters, they got the fresh fruits, they got the fresh sandwiches, and good service. You know, everybody wants to help each other and make sure your time is smooth.
Yeah, I know. And then they say, when you're finished checking out, you know, we'll see you next time. I'm like, you know what? Claire, you will see me next time. Yeah, that's hilarious. I was actually down south, and I went into, there was a Quick Trip down south, but it was Q with a Q, Q-U-I-C-K, I think. They spelled quick right. And that should have been my first indicator that this was going to be problematic. But I went in there, dude, expecting an actual Quick Trip, and I was a little disappointed. I got to be honest with you. It wasn't the same thing. So you got to look for the spelling, the proper spelling of quick, you know.
The right way.
Hey, I want to talk to you. I know there an issue very near and dear to your heart is, you know, folks who have dyslexia. And that was the cause behind your cleats. And what is that called? Where you wear cleats with a cause and then get them your cause, the cause cleats, or yeah, what are those called?
My cause, my cleats.
My cause.
And now I'm teaming up with My Dyslexia.
Nice. And now, how does that work? First of all, are you able to design the cleats, or do you work with somebody to do that?
Basically, I get some cleats from Nike and just like a fresh pair of whites and send them off to who they want to get painted, and whatever design the artist comes up with, that's what I wear on my feet.
That's cool. Now, who is the artist that designed those cleats? Did you pick them out, or did you know them, or is it someone Nike hooks you up with?
Charlie Parner.
Oh, nice. Very cool. And did you talk to them before, kind of give them sort of the vibe, or did you give them the cause and let them kind of go with it?
She just had, because one thing me and her have in common, she's dyslexic too. So and she made it her whole thing too. So it was cool that me and her actually had that connection, and we talked about it. Yeah.
Now, for people who don't know what dyslexia is, or maybe they think of the things in pop culture, maybe reversing orders of words or letters or numbers, what is it from your perspective?
For me, letters is switched sometimes, you know, upside down maybe. But it's something I got a chance to, you know, get better in and still getting better in.
Yeah, and is this something you knew you had as a child?
Yeah, I knew I had dyslexia going into my seventh grade year.
Your seventh grade year, okay. And was that difficult up to seventh grade, not knowing you had it? You know, not knowing you had it, but knowing maybe something was off and you couldn't put your finger on it?
Yeah, it was a little hard, challenging, you know, questioning, you know, myself, you know, asking me, like, you know, why can't I keep up, you know, with others and things like that. But that day that I found out was really the best day of my life, because it was the day that I found out what I had and the day that I put a plan together and started to attack it to get better.
Yeah. I mean, you're a guy who obviously, when you have a goal, you accomplish it. I mean, you've accomplished so many. So you found out in seventh grade, but maybe it would have been easier, or you would have been able to tackle it in a more effective way if you found out earlier. So is there a way to kind of like find out earlier, or is that not really the thing? You just kind of figure out when you figure out, and then you tackle it from there.
I feel like it's different cases. I feel like, you know, if you get your child tested, and, you know, as a parent, that's up to you at what age you want to do that. But once you get your child tested and you find out, so it could be in earlier stages, it could be in later stages. As long as you find out what you need to do, you can find out the proper steps to, you know, account for it and do what you have to do.
Are there some things that that parents may want to look out for that perhaps you experienced and you're like, hey, if you see this going on with your kid, maybe it's worth testing them?
I want to say when you have a hard time or struggle, you know, reading. Mm-hmm. And that was really my main thing, because words would switch, you know, and it was hard for me. So that was really, I feel like that was really my main thing.
Yeah. Do you have any advice to those who perhaps just found out they have dyslexia and are, you know, trying to get better and adapt? Do you have any advice, tricks that you picked up along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like once you find out you have dyslexia, everybody that has dyslexia has a superpower. We're different from others for a reason. So I encourage them to keep their head up, keep pushing to become better for themselves, and see what happens. Because everybody has a superpower. Don't let it be a downfall or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and is it the kind of thing where you can get the same results? It may just take a little bit longer, a little bit more focus. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair to say. That's fair to say. But, you know, like I said, when you have dyslexia, that's something that you have to deal with on a day-to-day. That's something you have to, you know, build confidence within. So that's why I challenge people, you know, to do that, has that, and just use that, you know, as a strength. It's not a handicap or nothing. It's going to make you better.
Yeah, definitely. And how do you think it's made you better?
Just with my work ethic, you know, just wanting to, you know, improve. Like when I was in Michigan, I was all academic Big Ten. And that's something that I push for. That's something that I work for. And, you know, I feel like me having dyslexia didn't stop me at all. You know, small goals that you set for yourself that you could achieve.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw a different interview too. And this goes back to your mom. Didn't your mom say you can't get C's or you're off the team? Didn't she say something like that at one point?
Yeah, that's when my academics took the chains for the best.
But was there something that like inspired? Because when did you start playing football?
7th grade.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So you start, well, that's when kids start playing, right? So, or did you start later than most kids?
I was just always big, so I couldn't do Pawana, Pee-wee. I had to wait until I got to middle school.
Really? So they just won't let you play? You were too big and they won't let you play?
Big, yeah, yeah.
And you wanted to play football then, but they won't let you play?
Yeah.
So, how'd that make you feel?
I did everything that I could. I put Vaseline on me with a trash bag. Kid went outside trying to ride a bike to lose weight, but you know, I really ain't think about it too much because it was for the fun. But when I had an opportunity to do it in 7th grade and weight wasn't a problem, I really loved it and enjoyed it.
Yeah. And when did you know that, like, oh, I'm better than, I got a little bit more skill than the rest of these guys?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, with me, I'm just a worker. You know, people around me seen it before I seen it, you know. So with me, I'm just out here with the guys, but I'm just separating myself. You know, I never really looked at it as, oh, I'm better than.
Okay. But is there a moment that you're like, I'm going to do this professionally? And you felt that, like, you know, I think, you know, everybody when they're like, I thought I was going to play professional football. And then I realized I suck at football. So is there a moment you realize, wait, I'm really good at this and I want to do this?
Once I started getting college offers and, you know, once people, you know, start, you know, rating me, I'm like, oh, okay. And then once I went to college and once I started dominating on the college level, I'm like, oh yeah, I can really do this, you know?
When colleges are trying to recruit you, is that a weird thing? Can you see that? Could you see your ego getting bigger when you got that kind of recognition?
For most kids, your ego can get big, but who I have in my circle and who I have in my family, they won't allow that. You know, I'm just regular over Sean, regardless of what I do. I can always do better, and they push me to do that. So, you know, you can't have a big head around this house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your mom's probably a good example of that, getting back to what I was initially saying. So did you bring home a C at one point And she was like, no more of this? Or when did that sort of, you can't have a, you got to have good grades to play football. When did that rule begin?
I don't remember what time it began, but I think it was one time I brought home, I might have had 2 or 3 C's, and she was just like, this is not acceptable. Like, and at that point, I was just starting to get into football, you know, just starting to get out the house, you know, making friends and everything. So I enjoyed it. And she seen that. And she seen that, you know, I was doing everything and anything to go to football and, you know, work on football extra. So she, I feel like she seen that and she pushed, like she pushed that because she seen that was going to get the best out of me. And yeah, like, that's one of the best things that happened to me. Yeah.
And this may be the answer to that, but aside for yourself, who do you credit the most for your success?
My success? My family, my loved ones, my mom, my sister, my nephews. They push me. They my why. You know, they the reason for what I do. So just having them, you know, around and, you know, pushing me and watching them be happy, like, it really pushes me day by day.
And do your sister and nephews get out to games too?
I'm trying to get my nephews out to games, but my sister is able to come to a couple games.
Nice. How old are your nephews?
16 and 6. So, you know, they're going through school right now.
Are either of them playing ball?
The 6-year-old just started flag. He's enjoying it. So I'm happy we got him doing something.
That's awesome. You know, there's all this talk these days about like football and the head injuries and everything. Do you have any thoughts on like younger kids playing football or, you know, full on tackle? You know, you don't think they should start tackle until a certain age. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
I don't have no preference on that. You know, I'm still young. I'm 24. I feel like, but as parents, one thing I would encourage parents to do, if they do have questions, it's research. You have to research, you know, before you put your kids in that, you know, even if you have questions like that, just research, you know, educate yourself and you make that decision for yourself.
Definitely. Yeah. 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 What kind of stuff do you guys do outside of the locker room to like team build and have fun since it's clearly not ice skating?
You know, as a team, I remember Coach put together some laser tag.
Laser tag?
Yeah. It's just, you know, small little group activities you be doing. You know, nothing too much.
Okay. Who's the best laser tagger on the Packers?
Me.
You. Okay. All right. I feel like I have to press you on that as, you know, a real serious journalist here. Why do you think you're the best laser tagger? Is it because the scoreboard showed that? Or is this just your ambition shining through here?
A little bit of both. You know, a little bit both. More on the scoring board, though. On the scoring board.
So you won laser tag because there is a scoreboard at the laser tag place you were playing at, right?
My team won. I said
your team won. Okay. Okay.
I'm a team player. My team won.
Right. So you're both humble and amazing at laser tag is what you're telling me right now because you're not taking full credit.
Yeah.
Now, laser tag, where did you guys play?
It was actually in our home in the Don Hutchinson practice facility.
They set up laser tag in there?
Yeah, it's fun. It was fun.
Okay, so if you go to a laser tag place, they have like little rooms that you walk in and they have the lights out. Do they shut off the lights in the Don Hudson
side? Yeah, we had the lights shut off. We had like a couple like back lights. You really couldn't see much. We had, you know, our little football equipment set up. We had a couple of their equipment set up. It was a good little scenery.
When was this?
This was sometime in camp. I really can't remember, but it was sometime in camp.
Okay, is this an annual thing?
No, this is just, you know, just randomly, you know, team bonding, you know, team competing, you know, coming closer together.
I feel like this should be filmed and put on ESPN. Is there a chance that that would happen or no?
I don't know. You guys, that's above my pay grade.
Is it? Who do I have to talk to see if that can happen?
The head man.
Yeah.
Y'all talk. Okay.
Straight top. Sir. Go to LaFleur. Okay. I'll do that. I'm going to tweet at him and just see. I don't think he has got much going on right now. So I think he'll have time to respond to me. Do you like talking to the media?
This is what we got to do.
Yeah.
We got to do.
Yeah. Is it?
I don't dislike
You don't dislike it. It's not something where you. Is it tough? Do you get like coached like when you're in college or high school even? I mean, you were getting these college prospects. It's probably when you started talking to reporters and stuff. Does somebody coach you along the way and tell you how to say stuff or not say stuff or don't say too much or anything like that?
No, I never really had that. I feel like with interviews and, you know, just the younger you are that, or, you know, the younger you're exposed to and the better that you get, you know, with them through repetition.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. One of the things I got to say I like about what you do is the whole Bane thing. I think that's cool. Where does that come from?
That just come from, you know, my love of, you know, the little Batman and Bane, little going against each other and just how smart he is.
How smart Bane is?
He's always a step ahead.
Okay. Okay. Can you do the Bane voice at all?
I mean, you got to save that for game day.
Yeah, can't do that too. No, I don't want to screw up your thing here. Did you grow up reading comic books?
Not comic books. I grew up watching them.
Okay. The cartoons?
Yeah.
Nice. And when you saw Bane, your anti-hero hero growing up, and, you know, you have that in your head, and then he makes an appearance in the Batman films, what did you think? Were you disappointed? Were you happy with the performance?
Of course. I'm a Bane fan.
Okay. So you liked it. You think they accurately represented Bane in live action?
Of course.
Yeah. Now, Bane, I will say, first of all, I got to send you this, but I did this video of Bane. We're actually from Wisconsin. So mm-hmm. I gave him like a Wisconsin accent and everything. I gotta actually, you know what? Can I get your reaction to it? Can I show it to you now and see if you approve of that? Is that cool or no?
That's cool.
All right.
I'm gonna let you know now though. It's hard to make me laugh.
Okay. Okay.
No disrespect. So if I'm straight faced, I don't want you to feel no type of way.
Okay. No, I appreciate you setting that up, and I hope our audience hears that because, because if you're not laughing, this is going to be embarrassing for me, and now I can be a little less embarrassed. All right. So hang on. I'm going to do share screen. Okay. I think I can do this.
You got to turn it up.
Oh, wait. Hang on. I'm going to pause it. Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear nothing.
You can't hear anything?
Oh, nah, that's
bummer. Bummer. Hang on. I don't think I can do this. All right. How about this? I'll just send it to you after. And let me try one more. All right. If this doesn't work, I'm sorry I wasted this much of your time. My bad. All right. Now I can hear you. All right. Oh. Good. Sorry about that. You know, I was trying to get too cute with this. That's the wonders of technology. You know, my bad. Anyway, I'll send it to you. I think you like it because there's this big football scene in Batman. Unfortunately, they were all in Steelers colors there, but, you know, close enough. They had the gold. By the way, and this is my last question, or second last question, you know, growing up in New Jersey, did you always want to play for, you know, one of the teams there, like the Giants or the Jets? Do you have, like, that hometown pride and ambition for that, or were you like, any team that wants me, I'm going to be thrilled to play for you?
Any team that want me, I'm
ready
to play. Yeah.
Now, and do you become now more of a Packers? Who was your team growing up?
I really have a team. I just like watching football.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that makes it easy. I always wondered if people were like diehard Giants fans or Jets fans or whatever, and then they play for the Packers. They've got this internal conflict. No. Okay.
No.
That's good. That's an easy one. What would you say to young kid out there who wants to play football, who wants to be you? What's your advice for them to get to where you are today?
Number one, you got to enjoy the process. And by that means you have to embrace everything that comes with, you know, wanting to get here. So, you know, starting from, you know, middle school to high school, you got to make sure you have good grades. You know, of course, you got to stay out of trouble. For high school, same thing. Got to keep your grades up. You know, I feel like football, the easy part is what we've been doing. It's just, you know, the off-the-field things, you know, things that, you know, people know will question a person's character. And that comes with a friend group. You have to put yourself around like others. You can't put yourself around people that's, you know, not focused and don't have the same you know, mindset you have. And just believing, you know, your parents, you know, just your support group, you know, they're not going to tell you something to hurt you. They're going to tell you something to better you, you know, if it's going to be easy or not, you know, depending on what it is. So I feel like it's just those small things and staying true to yourself and understanding the reason why you're doing this. You know, you have those two, you'll be fine.
That's great advice. That's awesome. And do you have any advice to maybe a young kid who just found out he's got dyslexia and sort of what where to go from here?
Yeah, just find out, you know, what's going on, and from that, come up with a statement. You can also visit madebydyslexia.org. They're going to show you a lot of things that's going to, you know, help the parent and help the, you know, the children just off of, you know, what they have on that site. And just stay strong. Like I said, it's a superpower. Don't use it as a crutch. You know, everybody's different. And go find your superpower and enjoy it. Build it.
After the NFL, do you have any idea what you want to do?
Yeah, I want to, you know, sit back, watch my family be happy, you know, and just run my little side business and enjoy life.
It's awesome, man. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you, me, and Elton can do that ice fishing thing. I hope I don't drop the ball on it, so to speak, this year.
You know, just a call away.
All right, cool. Well, I'm going to call, and if, you know, if you send me your voicemail, I get it. But there are walleyes out there, and they're delicious. So hopefully we can catch some, and I can whip up some for you, okay?
That sounds good.
All right, man. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Good luck this week against San Francisco.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And that is it for this week's episode of the Cripescast. Make sure you follow Rashawn Gary on Instagram. That's at Rashawn Gary. And you can follow the Cripescast, which is just at Cripescast, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Thank you all for listening. Everyone, keep her moving. And while you keep her moving, watch out for deer. Okie dokes. By the way, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, bye.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.